This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
By the way, you were commenting yesterday about Adrian Brody's long speech at the Oscars the other night.
Oh, record-setting. Yep. And while some of the things I think he said were important, you can't just hijack the stage, which is what he did.
By the way, I asked this question in passing yesterday. I don't think we ever got an answer. Why are the Academy Awards called Oscars?
There are some theories about that, but continue and I'll pull up some of those theories.
Adrian Brody, who promised brevity at the Oscars if he were to win, has set the record with a 5.5-minute speech for the longest, this is according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the longest acceptance speech at the Oscars ever.
The problem is when you go from 2 minutes into three, into four, you've lost everyone already.
That's right.
You've lost the audience.
Well, they say with a news story on the radio, for example, you have 10 seconds to get the audience's attention. With television, you have 20. You have 20 seconds.
The theory is that Margaret Herrick, the librarian and president of the Academy back in the 1930s, may have said that she named it after her supposed Uncle Oscar in 1931. The only corroboration of that was a 1938 clipping from the LA Examiner, in which Herrick told a story of her and her husband joking with each other using the phrase, "How's your Uncle Oscar?"
Mm. And it's the statuette.
Right.
Yeah.
The statuette is called, and the Oscar goes to.
Right.
It's the statuette.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Johnson, the Pro Football Hall of Fame coach who won two Super Bowls with the Cowboys and a college national championship with the Miami Hurricanes, I believe, announced his retirement today from Fox Sports.
Okay.
After being part of their NFL coverage for most of the past 31 years. He is 81 years old. He said, "The most fun I ever had in my career, and that is counting winning Super Bowls and national championships, was at Fox Sports. But I've made an extremely difficult decision. I've been thinking about it for the last 4 or 5 years, and I've decided to retire. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss all the guys. I see them occasionally. It's been a great run starting 31 years ago." Okay.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
Scott.
What are you suggesting as I approach my 30th year here?
I'm just saying.
Maybe it's time to be put out to pasture?
No, very few people are in one role with one company that entire time.
Maybe I should retire?
Happen to be one of them.
Simmer down. You're approaching your 29th year, okay?
Please.
That's true.
I know.
You know, our dads
In December of 96.
Yeah, our dads and our grandfathers used to work for one company. They would retire and get like a gold watch, mm-hmm. Seiko. You don't see that kind of longevity at all anymore. Ask any hiring manager today, what is the average number of jobs people jump today? It's a large number.
Scott, it's very easy for me to remember when you started here.
Because I wasn't even born yet.
It was 5 months before I was born.
Wow. Wow.
Jeez.
You were at least a toddler when I started my career.
Okay. We went to college together, Dana.
Still older than I am. I'm just stating a fact.
We were at KU at the same time.
Not the same grade. I'm just stating a fact.
Grade? What are you in? Eighth grade? Those are called years. Those are called years when
you're
a
senior. She was a freshman. A few years my senior.
I was a senior when she was a freshman. That is correct.
Were you a super senior?
I was a super senior. And what? Not the, wait a minute. That is not my fault.
I wasn't saying it like it was a bad thing. It took me 7 years to get a four-year degree.
Yeah, that's called a doctor.
I know.
I went to the University of Nebraska and took Western Civ 1 and 2. Western Civ 1, to this day, is the hardest class I ever took. When I transferred to KU, KU would not accept Nebraska's Western Civ 1 and Western Civ 2, to which I said to the lady at Strong Hall, that's because you didn't have to take it. And she goes, sorry, son, it doesn't transfer. So I had to do an extra, well, let's just say at that point I decided to do a little less than 16 credit hours a semester because I knew I was coming back for a fifth year.
Ballroom dancing, anyone?
Yeah.
Everyone took that their senior year.
Most worthless class you ever took in college.
Eastern Civ.
Yep.
Right up there with Western Civ. It's a toss-up.
Eastern Civ was worse.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It was bad.
I cannot remember a single thing I learned in Eastern Civ, nor if I've ever used any of it in my life.
Just for general knowledge about the world that we live in and how we got to where we are and why things are.
And as you make that point, you're getting ready to take a sip of your coffee.
I took geography.
It's the most important class you can take.
Wait, what did you just say?
Geography. It's like a root science, in a sense. I agree with that, Dan.
I never took it.
Clearly.
I know that does not come as a surprise to anyone. I never took geography. No one ever told me it should or could.
If I gave you a world map, we've done this before. We've done the states. If I gave you a world map, and maybe we could print one off in the next break.
No, I'm good.
And if I gave you a world map.
They've got them on the internet. You can just pull that up.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
And we're not talking about, you know, Azerbaijan or Georgia or, you know, something.
You mean the countries.
Georgia is a country.
Right.
Yeah, I think the Caucasus region might be.
We're going to ignore the Caucasus region.
Too advanced right now.
Georgia is south of Russia.
Right.
It's in the Caucasus region, hence the name Caucasian.
I got nothing.
But if we were to do big ones like Australia.
Well, I know where Australia
or
is.
Or India.
China.
Yes.
Sri Lanka?
No.
Sri Lanka is a no-go.
That's a no-go.
Singapore.
Chile. I know that looks like a green bean. I will tell you this. My children know all kinds of geography because they've traveled the world. I never leave Kansas City.
Why not? Why don't you go to Europe sometime?
I'm going to do that. In the next year, we are doing Europe.
What do you mean like you never leave Kansas City?
Well, I mean, I never leave, you know, with the frequency that everyone around me seems to.
You mean out of the country?
Yeah. I mean, I've been, you know, Mexico, but that's a trip, not a vacation.
What?
Okay.
I've been to Alaska. I've been to Hawaii.
Alaska's not a country.
I know. I'm just saying that's
really far.
It is far, and we did have to fly into Canada. Fun fact: to get to Alaska, so now I know where that is.
But did your feet ever? Oh, you now know where Canada is, only because you.
I'm like, why are we going to Canada? Right. Anyway,
you could just look north. And it's all up there.
But if you never leave here, I've just never really needed to know what things look like there.
I just want to have fun at your expense.
No, I've been very honest about the fact that I don't know where things are. I don't know where things are here. Looked up today and thought, my God, I'm on a frontage road. I don't know how to get out.
Where were you going that got you onto a frontage road?
I was on a frontage road in Lenexa. Traffic scared me today because.
Why?
People are acting like they've never driven in the rain.
Oh, yeah. 69 Highway with the amount of rain that was coming down was a free-for-all.
It was bad.
The right two lanes were going 25.
There were traffic lights out last night on the way home. There were traffic lights out today. Jamie Monticelli said, Shawnee Mission Parkway last night was a
disaster.
Yes.
Not only the volume of traffic, how many cars did you count last night? We were talking about this yesterday.
Without their headlights on.
How many? Because I counted.
I diverted and went around that mess. How many did you count?
8.
Wow.
God.
What time was it?
This was at 6 o'clock to 6:20. Well, it took me 30 minutes to get home last night because traffic was horrible.
There was a stoplight out.
Between here. No, that was a couple nights ago.
Nope. Last night. I'm telling you, my car kept trying to get me to cut around Shawnee Mission Parkway. I'm like, what is this thing trying to do? And then I saw it and I was like, oh, it was probably 20. It would have added 20 minutes to my route home had I stayed on Shawnee Mission Parkway.
It took me 30 minutes to get home. By the way, 15 minutes from Squibb here at Metcalf and Shawnee Mission Parkway to I-35.
Yes.
15 minutes.
Yes.
To go 2 miles.
You guys should stay till 7. There's no traffic there. I would just like to point out that this entire segment has been nothing short of a confirmation that we all have ADHD.
Oh, no doubt. Can you print me off a world map without,
really not
without the country? I just want to have a little fun.
Can we go back to the fact that Dana said that Chile looks like a green bean?
Yeah. It's long. On the side.
She's kind of right.
Yeah.
I'd give her that one.
You got to give me that one, Sam.
Chile and a chili pepper.
Now, find it on the globe.
That's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know where South America is located.
Mm-hmm.
South of us.
You get me a little bit over the pond on loss. Like, is that Iraq? I don't remember. All those places are over there.
All right, 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. It's always good for the gondola. Oh, Sheila. And we are beginning our Geography 101 class here on the Dana and Parks program.
Ready for the world, because we are ready for the world.
When I did hand her the map of South America, which is on a single page, thank you, Sam.
You're welcome. I figured I should zoom in. The whole globe would have been really small.
She said, I thought you just wanted me to identify where South America was. I didn't think you wanted me to identify the countries
the things
in it.
Inside of it.
So where are we so far?
I've got Italy and Ireland.
What about France?
No, forgot about France.
Okay,
I'll find a home for that.
Go ahead and jot that one down wherever you want. We'll, by the way, reveal these results after 3:30.
That's definitely China.
Give her a little bit more time.
Okay, let's do that.
How about Japan if we're on the Asia?
Yeah, that's an island, so that narrows it down a little bit.
How about India and Vietnam? Vietnam, this country has an incredible history with Vietnam.
That is India.
Correct.
Ooh, look at me go! What is the point that you know where things are over there? I would rather know.
I want you to spend the bottom of the hour filling that out, okay?
Fine. I'll go back.
Okay.
Been a while since I've looked at a global map.
Clearly, based on some of the answers I just saw.
I just thought you wanted me to identify where South America was and not the countries in it.
By the way, if you haven't had a chance to log on to this video, it's a live stream of these two eagles. Jackie and what's the other one?
Diane.
What? Shadow. Shadow is her husband's name.
People are going nuts over these.
Yeah, because their first chick hatched today.
Two
today.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Jackie and Shadow have struggled. You know, eagles, I believe, mate for life, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
And Jackie and Shadow have had a camera on their nest for years. And the last 2 years, I guess an eagle normally lays 2 eggs per season, and which has been the case over the last 2 years. Jackie and Shadow have not had any success. This year, Jackie laid 3 eggs.
I know.
And 2 have already successfully hatched. I did not know this. You learn something on this show every day. The first crack in an eagle's egg is called a pip.
A pip? Well, they got 2 pips today because 2 fluffy eaglets broke through their shells.
So the first pip on what's being dubbed Pip Watch occurred on Sunday at 3:09 Pacific Standard Time. So 5:09 our time.
Each bird, by the way, is protected by 7,000 or so feathers knitted together that keep them and their eggs warm, even when temperatures dip below freezing and the wind is blowing. Fans have been able to keep a close watch on the eagles' ups and downs, thanks to the live camera that you talked about. I want to know the numbers on that stream, because 2 different people from completely different corners of my life reached out to me today and said, are you watching the eagles?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they meant either the band or the team in Philadelphia. And I said, no, but you're the second person to ask me this.
So T just hit me up and said, check out the, she's watching it. She said, the chicks are eating as we speak.
Look.
Look, oh, hi guys, here's a worm.
I mean, I'm telling you, you want to do something for your mental health.
Where's the third egg?
Turn off the news and watch that mama feed those baby eagles. It's calming.
Are there three? No, I see the other egg.
Other egg's kind of tucked under
there. It hasn't pipped yet.
No, waiting on the pip.
By the way, eagles live to be about 30 years old. If one of the eagles does die, the other eagle will find another mate.
They will typically not leave the nest that they have already built and lived their life in.
Can you tell, Sam, how many people are logged? I'm looking at this now and I don't see it.
What's the address?
But how many people have logged on to watch this camera?
What's the address?
And it's fascinating.
No, I mean the web address.
Watching, I assume that's mama, feed those babies, like gingerly, sweetly taking these little bits of food. And the babies right now are looking right at the camera and doing that owl head bob.
What are they doing? Okay. Okay. Is it friendsofbigbearvalley.org?
Yep.
Okay, that's where I'm
going.
You
can watch it on YouTube.
It's
the Big Bear Bald Eagle Live Nest Camera 1. It does not give a total number of people watching.
I bet you it's millions of people. Remember when the giraffe was, giraffe watch, when that giraffe was born? Everyone stopped what they were doing.
April, right?
To
April
watch
the
that.
Giraffe.
Yep.
It's like Panda Watch on Anchorman.
FYI.
Oh, boy.
There is an eagle cam, a nest cam, that is live now out of Blue Springs, Missouri.
Really?
Yes. Go to KMBZ.com, and you'll find the story with the link.
Are they in the nest right now?
Well, not at the moment. They're probably out doing stuff, and it's also early March.
I actually have a question, Dan.
Yeah.
We were over by Lake Quivira about a week ago.
You're right. Okay? The nest is empty.
So we exit off that Holiday Drive. We turn right. So the dump is on your left, the big Shawnee trash heap. And then we turn right to go toward the lake. And we see there's a little water treatment plant there. A little boy was out of a car, kind of hastily pulled over with binoculars. And I said, what is that little buddy doing? And we look to the left. And so when you look to the left, whatever that direction is, you've got the river, you've got some railroad tracks, and there's no foliage on the trees. There were six bald eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In a handful of trees, not right across from the entrance to Quivira, just a little bit toward the highway. And when we came back, you know, a couple hours later, they were gone. But if they always nest in the same place, do they hang out in different places?
Well, they do move around, but they like their territory. It's like, you know, in Lawrence, you would see bald eagles down by the river all the time there. And, conservation efforts have been very good.
Yes.
The bald eagle has come back very strongly.
And with no leaves in the trees, you just saw these little dots of their white heads from the road.
Look, they're so cute.
Oh, they're darling.
There is a bald eagle nest in Overland Park as well.
Hello, friends. All right, let's get that third one to hatch, Mama. Come on.
Where's the pip?
Come on.
I don't think they make the pip happen.
Look at her. I mean, okay. With such care
with those enormous talons. How do they not smash that egg? But they don't.
They know what they're doing.
She's nestling in. She's getting on top of the two.
About to sit down.
Look at her.
Right now. Yeah, I'm watching it. Yeah.
Now, how do they get those cameras up there without disrupting the nest? Here we go. We're zooming out.
So it must be
super zoomed in. Because if you even get the wrong scent on that nest, they are then homeless and have to start.
Look at the view from that nest, by the way.
And the size of the nest, if you've never seen one, my gosh, it looks like Big Bird's nest on Sesame Street.
It's about 5-6 times the size of that eagle.
This is the Big Bear area outside of Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
Currently 70,000 or so watching.
70,000?
That's it?
And two.
Yeah, 71,333. Four of them are here.
70,609.
Quick break. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
So overheard here in the studio a minute ago was Dana, who's frantically trying to put her maps together.
That's all I got.
With some mistakes. I did take a peek. And I gave you three, did you?
The only one I know.
Oh, you threw one away?
Oh, South America, the only one she got was Chile. And it is
Colombia with an O is up there somewhere.
That is correct.
Yeah. It is up. That is true, yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
You didn't get Brazil, the big one right there. Oh. That's Brazil.
Hey, my children have been there.
Features the Amazon rainforest.
Twice.
Okay, so we have handed in a half portion of Asia, and Europe.
I would get an incomplete.
So Dana says to me, I can't figure out what's water and what's a country. And I said, well, if it's fully encircled, it's probably a country.
Okay.
So here are our test results. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. In Dana's world, Iceland is correct. Iceland is correct. But in Dana's world, and I see a golf flag there with a little golf ball next to it, what is really Ireland...
There's Ireland!
...is labeled Scotland.
Oh.
What is really the island that includes Wales, England, and Scotland in her world is known as Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Norway is now called Finland.
Well, those three dangly things are all up there.
Scandinavian
I
countries.
I knew it was Norway, Sweden, Finland. I don't know what order they're in.
Sweden is now Norway, and Finland is now Sweden. Yes, that is correct. That part of the world is water. She did write water. That would be the Baltic Sea. The Baltic Sea is called water. Oh, Dan, you want to see the rest? Italy is correct.
Boom!
Italy is correct.
Can't mistake that boot.
The French, check that. That is an Italian island called Sardinia, is known as the United Kingdom.
Oh!
It is in the Mediterranean Ocean now, or sea now. It's been moved.
Wrong body of water.
They're all just generally over there.
Sicily, where the mob is from, is now known as Greece.
Nice.
And that's all she filled out.
That's all I got.
Let's go to Asia.
We didn't get Spain or Portugal.
Now, yeah. we only listed four countries in Asia.
Oh, wait, that was in South America.
We only listed four countries in Asia.
Give me a percentage.
25%.
Okay.
Wow. Japan is Japan.
Well, good.
That is correct. But in Dana's world... Russia is now known as China.
Whoops. I forgot the old USSR.
They get a lot bigger.
China is now known as India.
Mm.
Oh.
It was right over there.
And India, with all of its lengthy beaches, is now known as a country that barely has a port. India is now known as Iraq.
Oh.
That's bad. I know.
That's Iraq right there.
It would not be any
better.
That's
China. That's India. Or that's India. That's Russia.
If you asked me in fifth grade, in 10th grade, in college, in my 30s, that map would look about like that. It's not my thing.
It's fun. It's fun.
I can't do all of them like I used to be able to, but I think I could get more than
25%
Japan.
So Jackie the Eagle is taking a view of Big Bear Lake.
I have posted the link on our social media.
She's relaxing. We do not know where Papa Shadow is.
He's out foraging for food.
Out getting some food, probably. She is looking intently. Man, they just look like they could kick your you-know-what.
Have you ever seen one on the ground briefly, like on the ground? Because you do not realize how tall they are. Yeah. Think, like, first grader. I mean, if you ever see one that has come down from the tree and is on the ground, you will go, oh, my gosh.
I got to stand next to one in Alaska. It had been injured. It could not see out of the left side of its head, its left eye. And it had damage to its right wing, and they were rehabbing it, and they let us go in and stand next to it, and it was wild.
The best encounter I ever had with an eagle was years and years ago. I was coming home from my brother's house in Wichita, and I had just gone through a toll booth just outside of Wichita. So my speed was basically zero to whatever it took me to get up to 70 miles an hour. And right there at the toll booth, and he must have just been, or she must have just been flying over the toll booth.
Sure.
As I'm trying to gain speed to get back onto the turnpike, an eagle is flying probably about 40 miles just outside of my driver's side window and keeping up with me every step of the way until I got to like 50 miles an hour.
And barely even flapping.
Yeah. And I just kept looking. I'm surprised I didn't get into a wreck. I was just so amazed by it. I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my God. There's a bald eagle right there. I mean, they are majestic. Look at her. She is.
What is the website again if people want to find it on their own?
It is. Well, I'm on the YouTube channel.
Just look up Baldy. If you just Google bald eagles babies hatch, you will find it. It's Big Bear Bald Eagle Live Nest.
Yeah. You can go to friendsofbigbearvalley.org. Friendsofbigbearvalley.org.
Dana, there is breaking news in the Peaky Blinders world.
Oh, do tell me.
So their set burned down, I think, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so they had to rebuild all of it before they could continue filming the movie. The big Peaky Blinders movie is set to come out, I think, next year. The creator today hinting that the show will continue after the movie.
I would have to go back and watch so much of it, but it would be worth it. I do think that's one of the best written.
Oh, it is awesome.
Violent.
British mobsters, the whole nine.
You know why they call them Peaky Blinders?
Because they peek through the blinders?
No. They wore those, you know, pageboy prohibition looking hats.
Sure.
They would sew razor blades into the inside of those hats.
The brim.
And that if you did not pay what was owed, you
paid with your eyeballs.
Yeah. That's where that comes from.
They would swipe the hat at your face.
And then you
and
you
your eye
don't
would
see no more.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
No longer eye.
Yes.
No,
it's crazy.
Yeah, wild. But yeah, the show's set to continue. I'm excited.
Oh my gosh.
By the way, I started reading a book, and by started reading, I mean I opened it and read the inside flap because I went to bed early last night. But a friend of mine said to me a couple weeks ago that she read a book about two of the original mobsters in Kansas City. And she said, I could not put it down. It's a quick read. It's not a huge book. I went on Amazon and bought it. It arrived like 3 days ago.
What's it called?
And we thumbed through it. We are going to try to get the author on our show. I thought he was still from here. He doesn't live here anymore.
Is this the picture book that we had floating around the studio a couple months ago?
It is called The Two Charlies, The Crime, Lives, and Double Murder of Kansas City Mobsters, and I think it's Binaggio and Gargatta. But this is the book. It is on my nightstand. I haven't started it yet, but my girlfriend said it was one of the best mob books she has read because this wasn't that long ago, Scott.
No, it wasn't.
And it just in thumbing through it, there are some very violent photos in Kansas City of where they lived, where they died, where people who crossed them maybe died, you know, in some clubs in downtown Kansas City where some of these dealings went on behind closed doors. I'm sure there were tunnels involved. Like, all of the history is right here, but it's about these two mobsters here.
Well, the mob was in, and I don't know if it's still in Kansas City or not, but
certainly not the way it was.
No, but, and I only know this because of some sources about 15 years ago or so in the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, in the Vice Squad. And who told me, you know, the mob is still here. It's just not the way it once was during the massacre at Union Station, et cetera, et cetera. During the time of the books that you're basically reading. What they had been relegated to was, we're going to put our cigarette machines in your restaurant.
Right.
Or, you know, we'll protect your business on this street you owe us, you know, X number of dollars a month and nobody's going to bother you.
This is what it says. In the 1930s and 1940s, the control of these two men, the two Charlies, extended from local police and businessmen all the way to the White House. The two men died together in an unsolved 1950 double murder in downtown Kansas City. The work offers a unique take on the stories of the two Charlies with firsthand accounts from those who work for the gangsters, as well as those who felt their wrath. The book also reveals the two mobsters' private lives with their wives and children and describes their inner political connections both within Kansas City and inside Harry Truman's administration. And it's like 2 inches tops thick. This is not a long read, but what she said was when you're learning about it, they will mention houses on like Ward Parkway. I mean, it's very obviously local.
Well, and just real quick from the text line, somebody writes, picture book, what a dig. I wasn't digging on that book. It was actually fascinating, but it was filled with a lot of pictures, mugshots, crime scenes. Every page was multiple pictures.
It was like an encyclopedia of mobsters in Kansas City.
And it would just tell you off to the side, you know, this is the body of so-and-so murdered on January 20th, 1933, et cetera, et cetera.
He was convicted of.
Yeah, I wasn't dogging the book. What I was saying, what I was trying to describe is every page is filled with pictures of crime scenes and mugshots and all this other stuff. That's all I was trying to describe. And if it came across as being unflattering, I was not trying to do that. It's a good book.
The two Charlies, by the way, were murdered at the Jackson County Democratic Club in Kansas City, April 5th, 1950. Each had 4 bullet wounds to the head. We would have to look up what is modern day Jackson County Democratic Club. Where was it? Because, you know, what was is probably something else now. But one of the things she said to me, and this is true, is like, do you know how often you're driving around downtown or someplace else? And like this real history unfolded right there. You've driven by this house how many times and you don't realize that these things happened there.
19th and Main.
19th and Main.
Well, and the speakeasy bars, many of them that are in the basements of the buildings in downtown were real speakeasy bars. And, you know, things happen.
Looks like the Democratic Club, it might have either been what is now the Hotel Monroe or a yellow building, 2-story right next door to it.
The double murder, by the way, remains unsolved.
Of course it does. Duh.
So there's that. So I will.
Nobody remained to talk about it.
I will finish it in the next couple weeks here, and then we will reach out to the author and try to get him on.
Somebody wants the name of the book again?
It is called The Two Charlies.
Okay.
And I got it on Amazon.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Happy March 4th.
Well, happy March 4th to you, too.
What is March 4th?
March 4th. The only day of the year that is also a sentence. March 4th.
That's not true. May the 4th be with you.
That's not a date.
Yeah, it is May 4th.
March 4th is an action verb.
Yeah, March 4th,
as in
I get it.
Stand up and walk, March 4th. It is the only day of the year that is also a sentence.
I think that would be accurate, yes.
What about, may I have a biscuit? May one?
No.
May one?
You get the month and the number to make a sentence.
Wait, what about March 2nd?
Like, you're going to March 1st and I'm going to March 2nd?
March 2nd.
Yeah.
That's also a sentence and a command.
Doesn't really have the same ring to it as March 4th.
Okay.
You, March 1st.
You, March 2nd.
You could do it for the entire month.
Sam, you bring up the rear.
Story here from New York City. In the shadow of rising housing costs, healthcare concerns, growing social divisions, a striking number of Americans are considering a future outside of the United States. According to a recent survey, 17% of American adults say they want to move within the next 5 years internationally, potentially signaling a significant shift in the country's population. Maybe, but they would have to do it. It's easy to say it. It's something else to do it. And this is not, you know, because this guy's in office or this guy's not. This is this survey was not done in the last 6 weeks.
But if you're looking to retire, I can certainly see where more people right now are saying maybe we go sit on a beach someplace else for a while.
The survey found that 5% of Americans plan to actually take the steps toward living abroad in the next few years. 2% say they have already started the process of moving to another country. Millennials have emerged as the group most eager to move internationally, with a quarter of them saying they want to relocate abroad, higher than any other generation surveyed.
Bye.
Regionally, Midwesterners, 18%, showed slightly more interest in moving abroad than Americans in the Southwest, the West, the Southeast, and Northeast. Midwesterners are the group of Americans most likely to say, I want to go live somewhere else.
But does that have to do with the conditions that they are living in? Or is that the age old, well, I want to go somewhere exotic? I mean, growing up,
I think it's healthcare, Sam. I think healthcare has a huge role to play.
And if we're talking about the conditions that people are living in, let's be honest, wouldn't people in the Southeast be the most inclined to want to go move somewhere else?
But growing up, you could ask every single one of my peers, are you going to remain in Kansas City? And all but three, I'm one of those three, would have said, no, I'm moving to New York or California. Kansas City stinks. You know, that was everybody's take. And they get older and they realize, actually, this place is pretty awesome. And they stick around. So now, does that have to do with their actual...
And I shared this in our interview with Frank Bull a couple of weeks ago. When I moved here at the age of 16, those first couple of, definitely the first year, I didn't like it here. It was hot. I was living in Lansing. Nothing against Lansing. I love you guys up there. But when I first
now
came,
you're never getting a sign.
I had culture. I had culture shock, and I didn't like it here. This town grew on me, and I don't know that I want to live anywhere else. I mean, God willing, I have the means to get maybe a winter home somewhere, and you know, go to South Carolina for 3 months. Great.
Oh, I didn't tell you. I think I'm going there.
South Carolina?
Yes.
Where are you going?
Well, for my birthday, we are going to head down to the Southeast, and I have never been to Hilton Head.
Mm.
Is that North or South?
That's South Carolina.
Okay. Never been. Have you been?
Joe lived in South Carolina.
I've never been
to the beach.
You've been to visit him, but you've not been to the beach.
So Joe lived in Greenville, which is, you see South Carolina on the map?
Yeah.
The farthest black dot away from the coast.
Got it.
That's Greenville.
I have always wanted to go to the Carolinas.
So Greenville is inland South Carolina. It's 3 hours from the beach. It is one of the most beautiful cities in these United States.
Carrie has said to me, you're going to go down there and not want to come back.
I would not mind, when I retire, if I could keep my home here or a home here and get like a condo in Greenville, I would do it in a New York minute. Greenville is a beautiful city with waterfalls right through downtown.
Oh, I'm so excited.
They have this gigantic waterfall right in the downtown.
From the text line, I grew up in St. Louis. I like Kansas City better. I'm never going back.
Me too.
Greenville's really nice.
Greenville's beautiful, isn't
it? That's called the upstate.
Upstate. Thank you. That's right. What did I say? In-state?
Well,
it is. It's in the state.
Yeah.
Up South Carolina.
It's in the foothills.
Upstate. Dan Weinbaum's got the news coming up in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie III. She's Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.